You are listening to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast, where each Monday musing plus one in-depth interview per moon takes you through the portal to the patterns of nature, the architecture of the cosmos, and to the divine language of our minds. Your host, Elizabeth Diane, expands your perception of the world and the awe of creation. With a light heart, she encourages an exploration to find the truth as it is evident to you. Every episode opens the doors to self-empowerment, demystifies the power of symbology and archetype, intersects relationships with matter and spirit, then circles back to ground in these seeds of life into the kind of wisdom you can apply to your being, soul, and purpose. Welcome to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast.
Hello, Sacred Spheres. Happy Monday. And today I am enjoying the sunlight that is glittering on the freshly fallen snow here at Mount Shasta. And I'm enjoying some good fair trade organic cacao and some gung fu cha, which to most people means tea and chocolate. And really tuning in again with the power of sacred geometry and the power within you. So that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to go into some of my deeper thoughts on sacred geometry and how sacred geometry is very neutral. That's the first thing I want to say. And I'll tell you why I feel that's important. You know, I talk a lot about sacred geometry being the patterns of nature and the architecture of the cosmos. And that's just the phrasing that I like to use because, you know, many others who tune into sacred geometry say similar things, and I've been inspired by that, but I also see for myself how these patterns show up. And so it makes sense to me. I've kind of made it my truth. And I'm always encouraging you to do the same, to find out what's true for you. And recently there's been quite a few people that are trying to warn other people about certain sacred geometric forms, and comes across sometimes as like a lot of fear-mongering. And yet, if I really tune in deeper, I want to know where they're coming from. What do they see? We're all unique individuals with our own perspective. And I really, truly feel at my core that we are all individuated expressions of the divine, of source creator, that source creator gets to experience through each of us. And so we're all going to have our unique perspective, and we benefit from sharing each other's perspectives. But I think we limit each other and hold each other down when we try to dictate our truth to someone else. And I've seen a lot of that, and sometimes it's put in a kind way, or it comes across, you know, like the person who shares may be genuinely concerned, but then I want to ask questions and I don't always get answers, you know, but maybe they're just still formulating their truth. I have a lot of compassion for all of us, you know, no matter how enlightened we may be, still seeking to understand the phenomena of this reality, the physical realm, or other dimensions that may come into our awareness. And I have a lot of gratitude for people who kind of are way showers and help another find clarity through this whole cosmology of what is this life? You know, who are we? What are we experiencing here? And so for me, what I've discovered, and again, this is always for you to contemplate and find your own truth. And certainly, again, we teach each other, but we also ultimately need to know what's true for each of us. And that may change over time because we learn more and we grow more, right? So, you know, these patterns called sacred geometry, the most traditional sense, these are patterns that were drawn in ancient mystery schools around the world, which I'm going to talk about in another podcast regarding the, you know, that are kind of our ancient history and where sacred geometry ties in there. And, you know, we're still able to work with it today. The truths at the core of it are still true today. So if you take the most basic geometric form, a triad, or a square, or a hexagon, or a line, or a curve, or a circle, it doesn't matter what, you know, just a basic form, and you look at that form, does it ever occur to you that it could be evil, or that it could be your savior? Does it have that kind of power? What might give it a power? My personal understanding that I'm sharing here is that everything is consciousness and energy, vibration. There's a flow behind these patterns of nature and the architecture of the cosmos. There's a flow that works with the structure of sacred geometry. They work together, in my understanding, to create in different realms, to create in the physical realm, to give rise to the forces that cause electromagnetism, for example. You know, it's what we interface with here in the physical realm, and it acts like a bridge to the spiritual realm to give us some understanding. And so for me, these forms, again, are inert patterns, but that it's the consciousness and energy behind it that give rise to our experience here. So then you kind of need to ask yourself, or maybe you already feel really strong that you know, what is consciousness? Is it awareness? Is it a sense of beingness? Is it the ability to see all and know all? Is it then God or creator? So I'll let you define for yourself what those words mean. Words are an attempt to describe something that is more of an experience or a reality. And we're trying to make sense of it all from a perspective that is both within our mental constructs and our energetic fields, our soul, you know, the essence of who we are, which, of course, there's an aspect of us that's always connected to Creator that can access all that is. And in this energy flow of consciousness that does this dance with sacred geometry, both inextricably connected to each other, perhaps it's the consciousness, the awareness, and the intention of creator or observer of the creation that gives it its power. If you can agree with that, if you can go with me there, then this might make some sense. And I'll use an analogy of a gun. It might be a highly charged kind of word for some people, not intending to bring up any sort of trauma, but essentially just if you can step back and look at objectively at this human creation that we call a gun. And we know it has a lot of power. right? You know, it can create a blast that shoots a bullet out super fast. So we would see it as having a lot of power. Now, we have associations with it too. And most people, well, I guess it depends on where you're at on it. A lot of people see its power and want that power. And they form a positive association with a gun, and it becomes their protector. They become adept at using it. And other people form a very negative association with a gun. And is it based on the shape itself, the geometry of it? Is that either positive or negative association with it based on the chemical components that go into the strike and the explosiveness of the gunpowder that shoots the bullet out? Or is it the intention behind the creation of this form that we call a gun? And where is the power? Is the power in the gun itself? It cannot pull its own trigger. It takes a human or some sort of energy and consciousness to pull the trigger, right? And so with sacred geometry, is it the form itself? Or is it how each individual builds an association with that form and puts their intention with it, energetically moving with that form that creates something either benevolent towards life or malevolent, or what people would think of as evil or wicked? Is it a destruction that is the right use? Is it, you know, the ground is full of destruction when it takes the leaves from the trees and composts them into soil. It's destroying the leaves. And the beauty of it is that it feeds the tree itself. And yet it's a little different than the kind of destruction that comes from cutting down all the trees so that they can no longer grow and they can no longer reseed. And that's a different kind of destruction, and it doesn't really support organic life. So this just gives you some ideas to ponder when it comes to sacred geometry, that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And that great power lies not just in a pattern of nature, but the consciousness that's approaching and using the patterns of nature. I one time had a dream, a very lucid, vivid dream that was full of messages for me. And in this dream state, I walked into this room where there was a woman. She was a spiritual leader. And doesn't matter who it is, I don't know who it is. It could have been a shadow aspect of myself that I could either choose to play out or not. And in this dream, she seemed like another person who had a mandala hanging on the wall. And she was efforting so hard to get other people to look at her mandala, saying that mandala was going to save them. And that they had to give their power to that mandala and not look at all the other mandalas that other people were creating, warning that those other ones were evil and would lead them astray. And I stood back and I looked at it and I went, she's just power hungry. She's trying to deceive people and, you know, pull them in with this sacred geometry. But it wasn't the sacred geometry that was where the power was. It was the energy that she was infusing into the interactions she was having with other humans. That's where the power was in this dream. And I saw a lot of people waking up to this. So I turned to my left and I saw this whole long line of people kind of almost like coming out of their slumber, coming out of their blindness, or they were like half zombie, almost like we're starting to wake up. Who are we really? And what's going on here? And they were ignoring her and they were walking past her. And I saw where they were going was to this great light. And in this great light was their freedom and their truth. And they were on their way to self-liberation. It's a beautiful vision. So when I teach sacred geometry, it's with that in mind. It's that we can reclaim our power and that these patterns can be powerful. But even if we don't use these patterns, it's still the power in us to either choose something with an intention of benevolence for all, or something that's interfering, that might be motivated by, a human need. I have compassion, for humanity because, we've got a lot that we can struggle with here. And there's also access to a lot of freedom and self-empowerment. So when I do teach my courses, this is the place that I'm coming from. I like to give you an opportunity to safely look at our past history with sacred geometry, the way maybe it's been misused, what we would say is misused because it's been used to manipulate people. Take a look at the swastika, for example. The if you're not familiar with the swastika, you can look it up, of course, but it's that symbol of four rays that go out at 90 degrees and create a form that the Nazis used, that Hitler used. Well, Hitler understood that it was used in the past as a powerful symbol. In India, it was used in very, and maybe still is, used in very benevolent ways to increase energy for a certain purpose. But what's the purpose? That's where the power lies. What's the intention? And, I always remember that if an intention comes from a place of, not from the heart, but maybe from a survival mode or from a obsession or desire for power over others, that it's going to have a polarized effect. It's going to have a positive, a negative, a shadow, and a light, okay? And that's what's going to be experienced. And so then the shadow part comes along and people are all like, oh, that's evil symbol. Well, is it the symbol that's evil, or was it somebody like Hitler who had all kinds of psychological, emotional, problems, and maybe had a purpose here that caused all kinds of trauma, and wherever that came from, I don't claim to understand. I'm not advocating for it by any means. What I am advocating for is to be very intentional and conscious of your use of symbols and your use of power, even if it's through sound or through prayer or through anything else. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And, we're all unique. Enjoy your uniqueness. Enjoy your divine expression and reclaim your power. And if you want to join me in a sacred geometry class, then please find me at the Patreon portal, or you can go to sacredgeometryportal.com as mentioned in the closing of my podcasts and in the descriptions. All right. Thank you so much for being here with me, for listening. And I envision and intend for you an inspiring, graceful, beautiful day. All right. Much love.
This podcast has been a production of Sacred Geometry Portal. Dive deeper into the portal by subscribing at sacredgeometryportal.com. You can support the portal expansion through Sacred Geometry Portal's Patreon account. Infinite fractal blessings, and thank you for listening.